Wasn't that just adorable? Going for the wow factor this morning. Just so you know, when I wrote this sermon series, I never intended it to bump up against Christmas. There was actually supposed to be one sermon between this one and Christmas week, but God had other plans, as He sent a lovely white dusting last week that meant I had an option. Either preach the Christmas sermon that I had planned. Actually, I had three choices. I could preach the Christmas sermon I planned, or I could finish the John 3:16 sermon, or we could just do two sermons in one Sunday. I'm going to finish the John 3:16 sermon series here. And I'm going to start in a very unusual place. A 1980s movie that probably most of you haven't seen, but you've heard about. The title of the movie was simply two words: The Terminator. And the idea behind the movie was that there was a lady that was important to history, and so one side decided they were going to change history by executing this woman, and so they sent a robot back in time to be the perfect execution machine, and they sent him back in time to go about the idea of removing this lady from history so that all of history will change going forward. Of course, at the same time, the other side sent back a human into the same time period to be the protector and the person that was going to save Sarah Connor from being extinguished from history so that all of history can stay the same. The thing is that the robot got there first. And well, the bullets were flying and things were going crazy and Sarah was sure to be extinguished and all of history was at risk. And the first thing you know, this car pulls up and the door flings open and the gentleman behind the wheel was a perfect stranger, looked at this lady and he said, and made an offer she couldn't refuse. Come with me if you want to live. You want to get out of the chaos, you want to get out of the bullets, you want to figure out how to survive, you want to make a difference, come with me if you want to live. And that ties very nicely into how John 3:16 finishes up. Because remember how the verse goes? Say it with me again, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, like the character Sarah, she didn't know what her future was going to be. She was just living her life in the here and now. And like the character Sarah, she was in a perilous situation, and that's kind of how we find ourselves at times. And like Sarah, there is a foe out there that is seeking to extinguish our life, seeking to separate us from the life that we're supposed to have. And well, like Sarah, if we're going to survive, we have to make a decision. And just like Sarah, somebody came into our life in the middle of all the chaos, and held out His hand and said, come with me if you want to live. Come with me if you want the idea of everlasting life. And so the breakdown of our verse, remember, this is how we've been breaking this thing out. We started out for God. God looked out across the situation. God looked out across the need. God looked at what was going on in our life. This was all God's doing and God initiated. And when God looked out there, it says He loved the world. He had compassion on the world. He felt something for the world. He desired to fix the things that were going wrong. And so He did exactly what the story said. He gave. He sent somebody into the midst of the life and said, you know what? The only way we can fix this is we're going to have to get involved in their life. And so He sent His one and only Son. And that whoever believes in Him, He gave this great invitation. All you have to do is believe in Him. And we discuss what it means to be a believer in Him. And then we get to the final little piece of this. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Remember when I started this thing, I told you this was going to make you have to make a decision. And it's a decision whether you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior or not. You have to decide how you're going to live this life. Are you going to come with Jesus if you want to live? It's a choice that you have to make, and it is the greatest choice you will ever make in your eternal life. But you do understand there are a few things that we need to know. Last week, two weeks ago, I wrote my slides like before the snow. 2 weeks ago, we compared belief as the idea of being married. Remember the idea that we're getting into a relationship. It isn't just something where I come forward and make a profession. It's not a Santa Claus belief where, oh yeah, you're there, Jesus, therefore I believe in you. It is actually deciding to be part of a relationship. Just so you know, God's not into shotgun weddings. Okay? He's not going to force you into this relationship. He's not going to make you walk the aisle with Him. He's not going to make you live in a relationship with Him. He is going to let you make your choice because it's a relationship you have to choose. Just so you know, denial does not change the outcome. You can look at this verse and you can say, you know what? I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to work this way. This whole thing just sounds... It doesn't change the outcome. Just because I believe something, I can say I don't believe it's raining. Guess what? It's raining. Just because I say it's not going to work this way does not make it so. God put this plan out there, and just because I choose not to follow it, that doesn't mean that I get a do-over at the end, because there is no other measurement. God doesn't have a second set of scales where somewhere He's going to find a loophole in what's going on and say, you know what? You did good enough. You came close enough. You tried hard enough. No, this is it. This is the plan that God put out there. There is no option C. You're not going to be able to come up later and say, you know what, I thought of another way to make this all work. I mean, God's plan was good, but I got a better idea that will make this a whole lot less complicated. There is no other option. At this point of a physical life ends, there is no do-over. So we're going to live on this planet for so many years, and at the end of that time, we're going to go. The physical body will give out. And there is no point. After that point, everything is set. That's when the concrete begins to stand. There is no do-over. Your life has been written. And all of these things to me to remember because of that idea, the idea that, you know what? This is the most important decision you will ever make. Which side of the equation are you going to live your life on? See, the last little part of this verse begins with the idea of perish. Now, what is perish? Perish is defined as suffer complete ruin or destruction. Now that sounds pretty bad, but here's what you need to know. When it comes to physical life, everybody has an expiration date. James chapter 4 verse 14 says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Everybody has an expiration date. You know, this time of year when you're going out and you're shopping, especially for food, or if you do shopping in certain places, we're very big on expiration dates. You know, we go through and I look at when it's going to expire because I want to know, am I going to be able to eat it all before it expires? Because I don't like to throw things away. And so we look at the expiration dates, and so by knowing the expiration date, we decide whether or not we can take the product to our home or not and use it. And if it's expired, if you go to the grocery store and you pick something up and the expiration date is expired, what do you usually do? You leave it in the grocery store because you know what? You don't want to take something that's expired. So if we knew our expiration date, this would get really simple. If I knew when my life was going to end, I could just live my life however I wanted, whenever I wanted, up until the point that I'm a few days, a few moments, just minutes before my expiration date's going to, and then I could choose Jesus. And it would all be good, right? But you do understand, James says, you don't know your expiration date. Just because you're young now doesn't mean that you've got 50, 60, 70. It doesn't even mean that you've got 30 minutes. It doesn't mean that you've got 5 minutes. You don't know how life is going to work when it comes to the idea of perishing. You see, nobody knows the expiration date. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring." I often wonder how many people have gone down the path thinking, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. Then when you wake up, that's not what your day looks like. Things change in the instant. It only takes one phone call. It only takes one moment. It only takes one instant. It only takes one bad turn. It only takes one bad decision, and your entire life will change, and the things that you were planning to do tomorrow never begin to happen. Because you do understand, tomorrow is not necessarily set. Tomorrow is a product of the decisions that we're making today, and your tomorrow is completely based on, what are you going to do today? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day that you have. This moment is the only moment that there is. You see, physical death is not the perish that we're talking about. See, John 3:16 gives us a choice here. It says that we can have either perishing or we can have eternal life. And a lot of times we want to make this into a heaven and hell thing. But it's talking about either I'm going to die and go to heaven, or I'm going to die and go to hell. And that's not the message that comes out of John 3:16. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment. So here's what you need to remember. You are both a physical and a spiritual creature. There are two parts to you woven together. God said, let us create man in our image. And it says he formed our bodies out of the dust of the earth. And then it says he breathed into our nostrils the Spirit of God. And man became a living being. We are both physical and spiritual creatures. Thus, we know we have a physical expiration date. But here's what you need to know. We do not have a spiritual expiration date. You see, if you decide to live separate from God in the physical life, then you will spend eternity living separated from His presence in the spiritual one. This is a big deal that God's talking about here. This is not about heaven and hell. This is something much bigger picture out there, because in my physical life, I understand this is but for an instant. But my life in the future, that's the forever. Because you were created in God's image. That's what God said. Let us make man in our own image. Let us make man like we are. That does not mean that God has blonde hair or black hair, or it doesn't mean that God has blue eyes. He wasn't talking about your physical image. When God said, I'm going to create man in my own image, mankind in my own image, I'm going to make a being that can make decisions and have free will like I do. There is so much that goes into this idea of what it means to be created in God's image. But we also need to remember you were designed to live in His presence. This goes back to the sermon series that we were doing before we got to this one. We talked about living in His presence. The entire idea behind creating humanity was the idea that God wanted somebody that He could relate to. God wanted somebody that He could share His life with. God wanted somebody that could understand Him. And for that to happen, you had to get the idea of free will, but you had to be able to choose to live in His presence. You were designed to be here. You weren't designed to be separated from God. So while in our minds we can't wrap around it always, living in eternity with God is the idea of suffering in itself. My brain can't always understand that, but the idea of living in a place where I have no access to God, my brain can't understand that, but that is the epitome of what it means to suffer. You see, I can't fathom it now because guess what? I've never experienced that. I mean, I've had my times in life where I have wandered far from God. And I've had my days in life where you probably wouldn't know whether I had a relationship with God at all. But even in those darkest times of anybody's life, guess what? God is only a step away. When you turn back around, He's right there for you. You see, the idea of never being able to turn back, never being able to make another decision, always having to live with the idea, that is the idea of suffering, in the fact that I have to have God in my life. If not, there's this empty hole inside of me. Now, in our physical life, we try to stuff that hole full of all kind of things. Possessions, alcohol, relationships, anything we can find to try to fill that hole. But God says it's a hole that only I can fill. And so we need to remember the idea that once that hole is left empty and physical is over, then the spiritual side of our life kicks in. And that spiritual side says that, you know what, it's suffering not to be able to talk with God. You see, the idea of eternal life, this is where we want to talk about heaven, but really it is a much, much, much bigger statement. So if you have your copy of God's Word, make your way to John chapter 3. I bet you were wondering when we would actually talk about the actual verses around John chapter 3, verse 16. And remember how this story started. This story started with a gentleman named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he wanted to find out about this Jesus person. So he came to Jesus in the middle of the night to find out what was going on with Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, we know you're a great prophet, and I want to give you all this stuff. And this is what it says that we have going on here. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered. So he's answering Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking him questions about what his intentions are. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. So they're having this conversation, this back and forth, and Jesus looks at Nicodemus, who was a very old man, and he says, Nicodemus, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to be born again. And this blew Nicodemus's mind, because Nicodemus is truly thinking in the physical point of this place. And he's saying, born again? Man, I'm like old. What do you want me to do? To climb back into my mother's womb and have her do this all over again? I mean, that's literally the question that he asks. He's asking, what do you mean born again? And that's where the confusion begins. But you have to remember, you have a physical birthday. Mine is September 3rd, 1968. I showed up on this planet for the very first time. Other people have different birthdays. There's probably people in the world that share the same birthday. But all of us have a very physical birthday. Jesus tells us that as our body has been born, our spirit has to also be reborn. So I come into this world and I am introduced to this idea of sin. Sin is simply put, we've discussed this before, we talked about it when we had the little chasm on the screen. Sin simply put is the fact that I have done something that has put a separation between me and God. It could be anything. Okay? Something that God has told me to do that I choose not to do, or something God told me not to do that I chose to do anyway. But it put a separation between me and God, and it says it caused a death. Remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit? And they began, once Adam ate, it says they realized that they were naked, because they realized that now they had sin in their life, they had disobeyed God and gone their own way. And so this idea, it says that God said they would surely die. So when sin enters into my life, there's a separation that gets put up there, and I have the idea now that my spirit, which has died, that has to be reborn. And so this is really, really, really simple math. I bet you didn't know you were going to get a math lesson today at church. But here's the way the math works. One birth, two deaths. So that means if the only thing I have on my calendar, if the only birthday I have in my life is my physical birthday, then that means I have a problem in the fact that Hebrews told us that once I am born, that once I die, there is another death, that separation from God. So if I have one birthday, a physical birthday, then you know what? I'm going to not only have to experience physical death, I am going to have to experience eternal separation. See, that's that second death, that judgment that God is talking about. The good news is that if there are two births, there's only one death. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, physical death. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? See, that's what this is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. See, that's where the choice comes in. You have to choose to accept this for what it is. You have to make the decision that, you know what? I understand what Jesus did for me, and I understand the fact that I've got things in my life that separate me from God, and I understand the fact that there is absolutely, positively nothing I can do to fix this problem. So I have to now put my trust in the one who came as a baby, lived the perfect life, and gave himself as the perfect sacrifice. And when I do that, this bridge begins to form, and this idea of two births begins to come out, the idea that I am only born physically. It says I am reborn spiritually. You see, when we say we want to make this about heaven and hell, we've entirely missed the point. You see, this whole idea is not about dying and going to heaven. We're going to sing as our closing song today, When We All Get to Heaven. And we like to talk about heaven. Heaven's going to be cool. We spent a whole week talking about heaven. Heaven is going to be an awesome place. But if you think the point of the Christian life is to live in heaven, then you've missed the point of the Christian life. Because I challenge you to find one single solitary Bible verse where Jesus says, I have come so that you can go to heaven. Let me save you some research. It ain't there. As a matter of fact, every time Jesus says it, He says, I have come so that you can have life and have it more abundant. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, the idea of life is what Jesus came, our restored life. So here's the question. When did your life begin? When you were born or when you die? That's an easy question, right? Your physical life began when you were born. So guess what that means? This relationship, this idea of living an eternal life, isn't what we do when they put us in a casket and plant our bodies in the ground. Our eternal life should begin the moment we choose to have that relationship with Jesus. That is so paramount to what is going on. That is so huge. You see, in John chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, it says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, Jesus, when he defines life, he kind of defines us as the idea of sheep. And he says, my sheep? How do you know you're one of my sheep? How do you know you're part of the ones that says, I have accepted, I am a believer? He makes it really simple. When you hear Jesus' voice, you know it. When you hear God in your life, you know it. And by the way, when God tells you to do something, that's where you go. You follow. Now, I just want to let you know something. In the world of sheep, they don't always work perfectly. Okay? The shepherd gives a command. All the sheep don't always listen every single time. Every now and then you have a sheep that strays. But you know what happens when the sheep strays? What does the shepherd do? Go after it. And he brings it back to the flock and says, here. And if the sheep continues to stray, you know that staff that the shepherd carries that we're so enamored with? Well, the hook is to take it and pull the sheep back. You know what the blunt end is for? It's for the stubborn sheep that keeps wandering away. The shepherd will actually break the leg of the sheep so the sheep will quit wandering, and then he nurses it back to health, thus trying to earn the sheep's trust to help them understand the fact that you understand. You are my sheep. You have committed yourself to me, and you're going to follow me. And the moment you wander away and you say, I'm no longer interested in being your sheep, then you know what? Then you're no longer part of the flock. You see, this idea of eternal life isn't looking for some place to retire. The idea of eternal life isn't looking for streets of gold and pearly gates. The idea isn't looking for clouds and harps and angels and robes and wings. That's not eternal life. Eternal life is the life that God intended for us to have all the way back in the garden. All the way back in the garden, God said, let us create man in our own image. And he wanted to have this relationship where he walked and talked and fellowshiped here in the physical life. And if you think about it, not much has changed, because when we talk about the Christian life, what do we talk about? We talk about living in his presence. We talk about reading his word, which is God talking to us. We talk about praying, which is God us talking to God. We talk about doing that on a daily basis. We talk about walking and talking and living and sharing. We talk about God working with us as our life partner. Psalms chapter 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let your righteousness be shaken. See, God says that in this relationship, I am interested in a partnership with you. I am not interested in just being the person that is an escape clause out of your life. I am interested in you partnering with me, and we walk through your physical life together so that when your physical expiration date begins to come around, it isn't such a big deal, because guess what? That date is no more important than my birthday. It's a point in time and a moment in history that will go past and it will just keep going. But if I have accepted Christ, then you understand that relationship that I build here on this planet, it shouldn't be a big jump. We always think that when we get to heaven that, you know what, it should be some enormous big deal that we're there. You know what? It should just be the next step. Because I've been walking and talking with God all of these days and all of my life, and now it's just the next step. Now I just physically get to see Him, which will be awesome. But you understand it shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a shock. It'll be glorious. But it's just a natural progression. Because the idea behind John 3:16 isn't the idea that Jesus came just to give us an escape plan. God didn't look down on our life and say, you know what? If I don't do something, then I'm going to lose everything. That's not what He did. He didn't come here to give us an escape plan. He came here to give us a lifestyle. He came here to say, you know what? I want you to have life and have life abundantly. And in that life, you've got to partner yourself with me. And so the question becomes is, follow Him if you want to live. Have you? More importantly, are you? See, that's the biggest difference between the spiritual and the physical. If I want to talk about it, I have a physical birthday that happened September 3rd, 1968. Just so you know, I have a, quote, spiritual birthday. That would be August 10th, 1980. That was the day that I remember, and the only reason I remember this is because somewhere deep in the box, somewhere underneath the house, is a little certificate where they gave me this little certificate when I was baptized. They said, on this day, Barry Creasy chose to follow Christ. August 10th, 1980. I have a certificate that says that, but you do understand that certificate is not what justifies me going to heaven or having a relationship with God. You see, if your Christian life is just a point in time event where you made some kind of commitment, and then you just went your own way, then you don't get it. You see, the car came and the door flung open and Jesus held out his hand and he said, come with me if you want to live. And you said, yeah, I'll get in the car. And as soon as you were saved, you said, stop the car, I'm going to get out and go do it my own way. You're not coming with him. You're not following. When Jesus says he wants you to follow him, he means all the days of my life. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 23? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by still water. He has me lie down in green pastures. Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Every single day is a commitment to this life. When we say this, then we are looking for an eternal life that means something to us, not just in the future. You know what? If heaven is all this is about, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because you know what? I got problems today. I got issues today. I got things I struggle with today. Please don't tell me that I'm here just to try to live by a bunch of rules so that tomorrow can be better, because that's not life. That's living to die. Jesus says, I came so that you could live to live. And that means that I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Anytime that you need me, anytime that you want me, anytime that your life is at struggle, understand, I am going to be that lighthouse in the middle of all the troubled waters. I'm going to be that one constant point. But you do understand, a lighthouse is only good if you use it, right? The lighthouse is only good if you're willing to follow the light. If you look at the light and say, well, there's the lighthouse, man, it sure is bright. But you know what? Over there looks a whole lot better even though it's dark and you don't use the light. You can't blame the lighthouse when your boat crashes, because the lighthouse did its job. It put out the beacon and the light and said, come to me. This idea of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him doesn't have to worry about perishing. You don't have to worry about the expiration date on your physical life, because guess what? You've got the eternal one living beneath it. So this morning I want to ask you something. Where are you? Are you out in your life and the chaos is going on and the bullets are flying and the things are happening and life just seems to be chaotic, and you know what? You've decided you're going to just tough it out and see if you can make it on your own? Let me tell you how that ends. Not well. Because you weren't designed to do this on your own. If you were designed to do this on your own, then God would not have given you the hunger and the thirst to have relationships with other people. So let me impress upon you. Seek God. Are you here today and you have, like me, somewhere maybe tucked in a box or in a scrapbook or somewhere, you have a certificate that says you're a Christian. But you know what? The reality is your life doesn't look very much like it, because you got the paper, and once you got the paper, you just went about your way saying, I checked that box. Let me encourage you to reevaluate how you're living this life and maybe start living it more like a sheep, following a shepherd. Maybe you're here today and you've done all of that and you're living that walk and, man, you've got a great relationship. Then you know what the next step in that relationship is? God wants you to go find more sheep. You see, it's a never-ending thing. There's not a checkbox that I get to hit and say I'm done. That is, until the physical expiration date comes and they plant the physical body in the ground, and now you're living in his presence physically, now you're done. Until that point, you're going to have to get up the next morning and recommit, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. Because Jesus says, if you want to live, you're going to have to follow me. If you want to experience this life, you're going to follow me.